Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than being bummed no one got your Kim Kardashian Halloween costume. Joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
Tabitha.
Hello.
And Lydia.
Hi.
And I'm Mitch, and that was the third time that they've had to hear that, and...
The eye rolls just keep getting bigger.
I almost heard that last one. So this episode is brought to you by LodgeCon. LodgeCon will be held February 9th and 10th, 2019 at the Will County Fair Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. It was announced today that Caleb Garofalo from the Trailblazer Network will be holding a seminar called How to Run a Tabletop Gaming Podcast. So if you're into tabletop games and want to spread your knowledge, come to LodgeCon and check that out. So real quick. Not a whole lot of information, but kind of some breaking-ish news. So it was announced that Ewan McGregor is very close to being cast as Black Mask in the Birds of Prey movie.
I saw that this afternoon.
So, I've read some stories with Black Mask. I want to get more familiar with him before I judge an actual opinion, but, I mean, it's Ewan McGregor. I mean, it's not much bad that he does.
Right. That is very true. So, you know, regardless, that should be, he should be good, you know, regardless of
the rest of the cast, the rest of the movie.
Right. So, all right. So, first big story that I want to talk about. So last week, Adi Shankar said in an interview that The Simpsons are going to drop, the character of Apu, which this is something that's been, I think we may have even talked about on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for over a year now. Just the idea that, you know, he's a bad stereotype and, you know, the character either needs to be changed or dropped altogether or maybe voiced by somebody other than a white guy. You know, what have you. But what was interesting, though, what came out after a couple days after that, Simpsons showrunner Al Jean said on Twitter that Eddie is not a producer on The Simpsons. I wish him the very best, but he does not speak for our show.
Hmm.
Which, that doesn't explicitly say...
one way or the other about the character.
Exactly. But, I don't know. Like, and there was... So when this whole thing first came out, IndieWire, which is... the site that broke the story, they reached out to a comment for a comment from Fox, and Al Jean also said that this was the only cryptic, you know, response that was given was that Apu appeared in the 10-14-18 episode My Way or the Highway to Heaven. Again, not anything like Apu's not going anywhere. Apu right. is going somewhere, you know.
No confirmation.
Right. Yeah. So
it's odd for that one person to put out that kind of information when they have absolutely no say in it.
Well, he was connected to the show at one time. And he says that he has two sources from people who are currently working on the show, as well as somebody else who I think works for Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons. Mm. So, in theory, I mean, these aren't just... this isn't just something that, you know, he's just... pulling out of thin air. Or it could very well be, and he's just saying that he has these sources. These sources obviously weren't named. But I don't know. I like, for me, like, I haven't actively watched The Simpsons in years. I mean, I'll catch an episode here or there. In fact, actually, last night they had a marathon of the Treehouse of Horror, and so I watched a few of those episodes. but all that said, I understand where the people who are saying that Apu is a problem, I see where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I feel like, okay, maybe we could change the character a little bit, but I feel like you don't necessarily need to change, you know, to completely get rid of the character.
Yeah.
You know, I think for as many negative stereotypes about the character, there are also that many more positive ones about him. You know? You know, something that we've kind of said before, I mean, you know, like, representation is representation, you know, like, to a point, you know. Obviously, if they're going all in on, you know, these, on, you know, tasteless stereotypes, then yeah, that's
problematic.
Right. Then that is problematic. But I don't think they're there yet. I don't think they ever have been in the 4,000 years that The Simpsons have been on the air.
Only 4,000?
Yes. It'll be 4,001 in December.
Oh. Good to know.
But they did... And really, the only other thing that The Simpsons has said about the situation was back in an April episode, where Lisa is looking at a picture of Apu, and she says, "Something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do?" Which...
Yeah.
That is interesting, though, that we're in that kind of...
How far we've come.
Right.
Yeah. Good or bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of things being offensive, Matt, let's talk about Deadpool 2.5, I guess?
Yeah, 2.5, I don't know, however you want to call it. So, the writers, who we talked about a fair amount recently, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, have actually confirmed in an interview that we knew that Deadpool was going back to theaters and we were going to get a PG-13 cut. They confirmed that they wrote new scenes and that Ryan Reynolds was back behind, in front of the camera, I say behind the camera, in front of the camera filming new scenes, as long as 2 months ago. So,
in between all of his filming for his Toon Blast commercials.
Right, yeah. So they're doing that. They haven't said if there are other characters and what other characters will be joining him or did join him in said scenes. But it kind of sounds like really they're just hoping that, like, by releasing this information, they're hoping to pull people back into the theaters, that have seen it and bring in new people that have not seen it yet. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that idea. I mean, I know that we talked about it being, like, you know, what's the point if they're just going to cut things, you know, and would it make it more worthwhile if they added things? I still don't know. I still don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I think for me, I would be more on board, and I know that they wouldn't have done this in the same year as releasing Deadpool 2 anyway. Right. But I think I would have been more on board with a completely new Deadpool story that was made to be PG-13, as opposed to redoing Deadpool 2 to fit into a PG-13 setting with or without added scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know what those added scenes are. I know the first time that we talked about this, there was speculation that it would be kind of like a Princess Bride type deal, where there would be many, like, scenes happening outside of the story.
I don't think I'm crazy, but I'm pretty sure I saw an image of Deadpool wearing a Santa hat, reading a story to, might have been actually Ryan Reynolds, in a bed. So...
That's actually kind of amazing.
Right?
You didn't see that? I hope you did.
I'm pretty sure I did see that. I'm going to see if I can find it, because...
Can we, like, petition them to make that happen?
Nope. I actually did.
Yes.
It's not Ryan Reynolds, though. It's a grown-up... kid from The Princess Bride.
Ben Savage.
All grown up. But yes, it's Deadpool reading...
That's amazing.
I... Somebody heard us, Mitch.
Right. So, okay, but, all right, so, like, what do you guys think, though? I mean, is this something to get you to go back to see?
I'm not going to go back to watch the same thing, but toned down. Like, that feels a little redundant to me.
It also feels basically just like a money grab.
Yeah.
Like, that...
Like, we didn't reach all of our target, you know, whatever, so we're going to change it a little bit so we reach a broader demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it does... seem like it's just, it doesn't feel like there's a big enough reason to have this, other than, hey, let's get more people to see it, and maybe get some people to see it another time.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Release a new DVD cut of it, too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, if they were to just re-release this to DVD, yeah. I think, well, yeah. I don't know. Even then, like...
I wouldn't go out and buy it. I mean, when it eventually comes to streaming, I would probably, as long as it's something I already pay for, yeah, I'd probably sit down and watch this different cut just to see.
But... Right.
You're not going to pay money for it that you're not already paying.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, take this with the biggest grain of salt that you can, but,
So, like one of those Himalayan rock salt lamps?
Yes. Cool. So, there's talk of a potential either Hawkeye movie or possibly a Hawkeye limited series on the new Disney streaming whatever. And so, supposedly from this source, which is MCU Cosmic, says that it's going to involve Clint Barton as Hawkeye, but it will deal with him training a new, younger Archer, which could would potentially be Kate Bishop, who is also known as Hawkeye. You all know my feelings on Hawkeye. I would love to see this. I would love to see this as a limited series as opposed to a movie, though. I don't think that a Hawkeye movie would bring in the numbers that...
Yeah.
Some of these other movies have.
Plus, with a series, even if it's a limited series, you get much more chance to get more information put into it.
Exactly.
Rather than a movie that's confined to 2.5 hours, if that.
Exactly. But yeah, and, you know, and plus, like, with this streaming service, I mean, they've announced series for Scarlet Witch and Loki. So, I mean, you know, it's starring the, you know, the original actors for those. So, I mean... I think that there is a place for a Hawkeye series, and I would like to see it.
I would watch that.
I mean, especially if something else that I read was that it would be theoretically kind of based off of Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye, which that was one of, like, when I was first, you know, getting kind of back into comics, that was one of those series that, like, kind of solidified it for me. Yeah. So I would love to see that on any kind of screen. So
if they can get Jeremy Renner to do it too, it'd be even better.
Oh yeah. Cuz
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they've already talked about for the other, like, the Scarlet Witch series and what was the other one?
Loki.
Tom Hiddleston and
Olsen.
Elizabeth. Thank you. Elizabeth Olsen coming back.
Comma.
I don't know why I said it like that.
But reprising their roles.
Right.
So, you know, there's that. But on kind of springboard off of that, I did see briefly that there was mention of a Winter Soldier Falcon possible show for Disney Play as well.
Really?
Yes. Again, no confirmation on whether it would be Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie. I got those two.
I was waiting. I was here for you.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
But, you know, maybe they're trying to fill out their own roster of shows.
Yeah. God, Disney's going to make me buy this, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm
good. Oh, yeah.
I was already going to do that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
I mean, I probably was too, but, like, at the same time, like, I wanted to hold out a little bit. But, I mean, especially if all these things end up happening, then, yeah, I'm going to have to. So, Matt, let's kind of change gears a little bit and talk about... Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
So, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina just debuted last week, 26th.
Yep.
And they might already be drawing some legal issues. Oddly enough, though, with the Satanic Temple.
Okay, let me make the Satanists mad with Netflix.
Right. So... I don't know. Just wait until I get to the end of this. The end of this is, like, really kind of the best part for me. So the Satanic Temple and their co-founder, Lucian Greaves, is threatening to take, quote-unquote, legal action against Netflix for appropriating their organization's copyrighted design of the monument to Baphomet.
Part one, that cannot possibly be his real name. I refuse to believe that.
Lucian Greaves.
Yeah. I was like, what is this, Underworld? I saw his name and I'm like, oh, was that with Kate Beckinsale? Like, no, sorry.
No, just the Satanist church, so Kate Beckinsale. Yeah.
The vampires, not werewolves. The statue is shown in multiple scenes at the Academy of Unseen Arts in the show. And in the letter, Greaves' lawyers informed Netflix of their copyright infringement and violation, and requested that they pull the images from the show. And Greaves had mentioned in an article that he noticed that they were like CGI. He's like, so I really don't know how. Basically, the way that it read in the article was like kind of pompous. Like, well, I don't know how hard that could possibly be to get rid of those in, you know, just a couple of episodes, but. Like, well, it's kind of a lot of work, but, yeah, you know. It's
already out.
It's already out. Exactly. Exactly. So, but the icing on the cake here for me is that part of the reason that Greaves and his lawyers sent this letter to Netflix is that because he thinks that the show is depicting the image of Baphomet as quote-unquote evil, which he thinks could have a negative effect on his group. You're the Satanic Temple,
right? With a name like Satanic Temple,
with a name like Lucian Greaves,
they're really good people. They just belong to the Satanic Temple.
I mean, freedom of religion and all, but right. Come on.
I don't even know. Oh my gosh!
But you know to. To play devil's advocate here.
Oh my god. Wow. I'm getting for Christmas, I hope you understand that I'm getting you a shirt that literally says, to play devil's advocate here, .. Like, that's what you're getting.
I
that's
not
a joke.
That.
Like, that's what you're getting. Either that or a coffee mug, I haven't decided.
But anyway, like, at the same time, though, like, a copyright claim is a copyright claim. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, assuming they do have that copyright, they have every right to be upset about it. It would be just like if, you know...
But, I mean, the Catholic Church doesn't have pictures of, like, Jesus. Like, they're not copyrighted into, like, graven images.
True.
It would be the artist who created the statue that could sue for copyright infringement if he gave the copyright to the Satanic Temple for them to use that. So are you going to track down the guy who sculpted that statue God knows how long ago, and he's going to have to do it?
Fair. Fair.
Yeah. So,
Before we move on, I got to know, is the real reason why you've been, like, playing sick or whatever this whole time is so that you've been able to watch Chilling Adventures uninterrupted, or...
So, fun story, I haven't even started it yet, because what? I know, I've been on a plethora of pain medication, and I was essentially comatose for, like, a day, so I have not started this at all, because I wanted to be able to, like... pay attention and not take a nap.
Right.
That's what I've been doing for like a week, is just randomly napping. But I plan to start it hopefully this weekend. We'll see how I feel. But I did watch an entire TV show, but it was not either of the TV shows that I was so looking forward to watching.
Man, that could potentially be like some messed up dreams, though. Like painkillers plus falling asleep to the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Ooh. I mean, that might be worse than the Nightmare Burger.
Oh, God.
Or compound that with the Nightmare Burger.
Oh, no. That would be horrible.
Yes.
That sounds like all of the worst things.
But it also sounds like it might be good fuel for a new show.
Makes me dizzy just thinking about it. I mean, I've got pain pills? Yep, that's where I'm at right now. Pain pills still at home if anybody would like to try that experiment. It's just not going to be me.
We'll talk after the show.
Okay.
And Matt, let's stick with you and talk about Attack on Titan.
So Attack on Titan is going to be getting a feature film adaptation.
I thought it already had.
It did in Japan. It might have had a limited release here in the States. It made something like $46 million. It was not a whole lot. The big thing here is that I'm going to butcher his name, and I feel bad about this. The guy that directed it, Andy Muschietti.
Muschietti sounds like a good name for a horror director.
If that's not his name, it should be. So,
put that in parentheses. This is like his nickname.
Machete.
He is going to be taking on the directorial debuts for this adaptation. From everything I could see, it basically is going to be an animated series. It's not going to be live action, which would be really kind of super weird for Attack on Titan.
It happened. It's weird.
It did, didn't it?
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, because that was the Japanese one, was the live action. I mean, long story short, it's Attack on Titan is set in a world where people live in cities surrounded by enormous walls to protect themselves from these giant humanoids that they refer to as Titans. I mean, the manga is, like, stupid popular. I mean, since 2009, there are 76 million copies in print.
And oh, so many cosplayers. So many cosplayers.
Yes. I've watched a little bit of it. I haven't watched a whole lot of it. I watched a couple of episodes. The Titans themselves are really fairly creepy. Not just because they're ginormous, but because they're
basically features. Yeah, with no skin.
Yeah. They're either androgynous or they are with no skin. And it's all like musculature that you see. So having the IT director attached to this is probably going to be a good thing. But I don't know. There's no real information on when, how far out this is, just that he has decided that he's going to take up the reins and make this happen. So
that'd be, I don't know. Like, I think I would like to see that live action, personally.
That would be expensive.
It would be expensive. Might be worth it, though. You might make more than $46 million. Tabitha, let's talk about Sylvia Plath.
So in January of 2019, Faber and Paper Publishing House is going to be releasing a never-before-seen story. Mary Ventura? I'm not sure. And the Ninth Kingdom in a collection of short stories. The story dates from 1952 when Sylvia Plath was in college. According to The Guardian, the previously published Sylvia Plath story follows a young woman as her mother and her father hustle her through the glittering halls of a cathedral-like station and onto a steam-filled platform before deserting her in a sinister carriage furnished with wine-colored plush seats. There, Mary meets a kindly woman who guides her as the train speeds through dark tunnels in a bleak autumnal landscape. So, typical Sylvia Plath. This sounds cheery. Right. So, I'm excited for this. We haven't had a new Sylvia Plath story in years. I mean, there was a lot of stuff published posthumously because, I mean, she did commit suicide in 1963. The Bell Jar, even her most famous work, came out 1 month before her suicide. So this is going to be something new and interesting, but it is going to be in a short story collection with a bunch of other authors' works that have never been published before. Kazu Ishiguro has a story in there, and I'm not sure who the other ones were. Okay. But I'm ready for this. I think it's going to be interesting, and the premise of this sounds very, very Sylvia Plath, but it's also one of those things that I might hold off and read in autumn because it sounds very autumnal.
Right. One thing, too, that I kind of liked about the description or whatever was that because I guess she had kind of edited that story a couple years later, but this is going to be the original version.
Correct. So. This is going to be the one she was working on when she was going to Smith. So,
Cool.
Yeah. So, all right, so we're going to go ahead and start some gut reaction, and we're going to actually stick with Tabitha and talk about Captain America.
Oh, okay. So, the internet's mad about sports and pop culture at the same time.
That never happens.
I know. So, as we know, the Boston Red Sox beat the Dodgers and won the 2018 World Series. The Style by Marvel Instagram account debuted a new shirt depicting Captain America celebrating the Red Sox win. And it kind of looks like a Patriot shirt if you look at it, like a New England Patriot shirt. It doesn't make a lot of sense, like, graphically, but whatever. The internet's mad because Steve Rogers is from New York, and there's not a chance that he would be like,
go on, Red Sox fan.
There's no chance. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I get that the color scheme matches, but whatever. Chris Evans, however, is a Red Sox fan, so maybe that was what they were going with. Anyway, the internet was mad. And
surprise, surprise.
Right? People were, like, commenting on this picture and, like, trying to, like, petition to get it taken down and, like, messaging the company on Instagram and stuff. Like, there's no way this would be real. And I'm like, y'all know Captain America's like fake, right? Like this isn't like a thing. Like people were like saying like shame on Cap for like trying to create a hashtag called shame on Cap for supporting the Red Sox because he's from New York. He's a New Yorker. And then like all I can think is like it's not fictional Captain America's fault that the Mets and the Yankees suck. Like what do you want him to do? Like I don't get it. But the people, like I read through some of the comments on these on this picture and people were just horrible human beings. Like you don't get to be mad about a fictional character on a t-shirt. Just don't buy the damn t-shirt.
This is worse than
joke. Someone like one of the comments that I saw was like this must be the Hydra version of Captain America. Like the people were either being like really funny about it or they were being like really obtuse and you're just like you don't have anything to do with your time, do you? Just don't buy the shirt. It's awful anyway. It's not put together right. It's not centered. Like, no offense to In Style by Marvel on Instagram or whatever, but get it together before you put a shirt out there. I enjoyed myself in the comment section. I was also probably still on pain medication, so maybe it wasn't as funny as I thought it was, but I liked it. It was a good time.
So I'm confused. So, what are we reacting to here? The shirt or the reaction to the shirt?
The shirt. Okay. The shirt. So what...
I'm going thumbs down on the shirt, mostly because it didn't make any sense, but thumbs up to the people who are commenting. They brought me joy and happiness.
Matt.
Yeah, I looked at the shirt. The design is not stellar by any means. Thumbs down.
The design on the shirt isn't fantastic, but he is called Captain America, not Captain America, except for Boston. So, thumbs up. Why not? Lydia.
Oh god. Overall the t-shirt looked like it was made by a 10-year-old.
Yep.
In fact, a 10-year-old probably could have done better. So thumbs down for that.
Matt, let's talk about Teen Titans.
Teen Titans might be coming back.
Again?
Yes. The old series that ran, what, 5 seasons? The anime-based style. There was a brief trailer that popped up online, basically alleging that the two animated teams, Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, could be going head-to-head here very soon. The website IO9 actually confirmed with Warner Brothers the trailer is legit, and the project will launch next year. No idea whether it's going to be a movie, a crossover episode of Teen Titans Go, direct-to-DVD, blah, 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 blah. But... the two groups are going to be going head-to-head in some fashion as of next year. I never watched the Teen Titans series, but my boys watch Teen Titans Go. They dressed up as characters from this series for Halloween. I watched the movie. I love the Teen Titans Go, so I'm going to go thumbs up for this idea.
I want to know more about how it's going to happen, but it's piqued my interest. Thumbs up. Lydia.
I don't know much about Teen Titans Go, either one. Haven't watched either one, but it sounds like a lot of fun, so thumbs up.
Tabitha.
I'm in the same boat as Lydia. I don't know anything at all, but I'm going to go thumbs up because, like I said, everything seems exciting about it. I didn't say that, did I? I think I took pain medication before I actually came here, and I don't remember it, maybe.
This is going to be a fun episode.
I'm just gonna go lay on the couch. You guys like yell at me when you meet me.
Also, there's different Teen Titan teams. I didn't know that.
Well, it's the same team.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same group of characters, but different art styles, different you know where like. And I've only seen like a couple episodes actually of each, but Teen Titans Go is geared more towards the younger crowd, and Teen Titans is more.
It's more serious. The Teen Titans Go is a lot of toilet humor. And like literally toilet humor, like pee and poop jokes.
I figured.
The Teen Titans was
thank you for clarifying what toilet humor was.
Well, I mean, like it's like I mean there's toilet humor, which is just like the genre of humor, and then there's like actual toilet humor. Like these are like actual toilet jokes.
So Adam Scott is going to be in one of the episodes of the new CBS All Access show Twilight Zone. He's going to be, and if you don't know who Adam Scott is, you might recognize him from Parks and Rec.
He's my future husband. That's what you meant to say.
So the episode's going to be Nightmare at 30,000 Feet. Don't know anything else about the episode, but logic would dictate that it's a callback to one of the classic Twilight Zone episodes, yes. Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, mm-hmm. which that featured William Shatner on a plane, sees a gremlin, and nobody else believes him.
And there's something on the wing.
Yeah. So, yeah, thumbs up. I love everything that Adam Scott does, and yeah, like, I don't know, like, I'm kind of getting interested in this Twilight Zone update, but mm-hmm. whatever. Lydia.
I'm not entirely familiar with Adam Scott, but all of that sounds amazing and fun, so thumbs up.
Tabitha.
I love Twilight Zone. Like, that was my thing when I was too young to be watching Twilight Zone. And I also love Adam Scott, so all of those things are two thumbs up.
Matt.
Yeah, I don't know Parks and Rec, but I have seen good things from Adam Scott, and I love the idea of this Twilight Zone reboot, remake, rehash, whatever. So I'm going thumbs up on this one.
Tabitha, let's talk Avatar.
For the 500th time. Well, it finally sounds like the first two of the four planned Avatar sequels have wrapped filming, according to Sigourney Weaver. In the same interview, she mentioned that her character is different than the first movie, but then this character is going to continue on for the rest of the movies. So I don't know what that means.
Neither does she.
Right, probably not. She also alluded to the cast having to learn how to free dive and doing a lot of underwater scenes. So that clearly means we're not going back to Pandora, and hopefully there will be 100% less unobtainium for you. There'll probably be something like also unobtainable, but just underwater this time. So there's still lots of production work to go, and it won't be in theaters until December of 2020, but it's wrapped. Thumbs down. We don't need this.
Matt.
I definitely don't need this. Whether you get the unobtainium or whatever else you can't obtain, thumbs down.
This is definitely not getting a thumbs up from me, but I need to know one thing because I can't remember because it's been, you know, so long since I've seen the first one. Does Sigourney Weaver's character die in the first Avatar?
No, she, like, is still there at the end when the tree is back and everyone's happy. And he stays with Zoe Saldana, blue Zoe Saldana, and he's like, I have legs now.
And the Ewoks have their party?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, then thumbs down. Like, it would have gotten a sideways for me if she had died, because then it'd be like, okay, well, I kind of want to know why, you know, like, who this other new character is. But no, like, oh, I'm Sigourney Weaver's twin. No, thumbs down. Lydia.
How long has it even been since the first one came out?
Like, so long it ago. Came out in 2009, I believe.
Yeah,
I remember I watched it when we were driving home from Chicago after my trip to Ireland, landing in Chicago, and we're driving back to Springfield, and we were watching it on the way back. That's the only time I've seen Avatar.
I've never actually True seen story. The entire thing. I've just seen bits and pieces, and I don't need to see anymore.
I saw it in the theater, but I can't tell you what year it was.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was 2008 or 2009. Yeah. Either way.
We don't need this. No, thumbs down.
So, Matt, let's talk about LeBron and Friday the 13th.
This is scary.
Ba-dum-tsh.
So, LeBron James and his entertainment company, Spring Hill Entertainment, is working, or is in talks with Vertigo Entertainment to produce a reboot of Friday the 13th. I mean, it makes sense right now, just based on the success of It and Halloween, to, you know, reboot something like this. Now, Vertigo Entertainment was behind It last year. They've also done The Ring, The Strangers, The Grudge. So they have some horror chops to back up this idea. And LeBron James is a huge horror fan, so that's why he's trying to push for this. This also coincides with the writer Victor Miller being granted the rights to Friday the 13th, including the locations and the characters. That might be part of the reason why he's pushing to get this done, because of right now the writer has rights to everything. So, I don't know. As much as I say, you know, we don't need this, I do want to see the new Halloween. I did enjoy It. So I'm going to go thumbs up on this, because I feel like a new version of this might be pretty good.
I'm going thumb sideways. I want to know how LeBron does with Space Jam first. Lydia.
Also thumb sideways. Oh, no.
Sorry. You're good. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine.
It took me a minute. My reaction time is slow.
But yeah, thumb sideways. For one thing, I didn't know he did anything with movies. So that's
interesting.
He hasn't yet. Yeah, he's starting.
So that's scary in and of itself. But if I wanted more Friday the 13th, I'll just go play the video game.
I don't think I need to know your answer, Tabitha, but I'm going to ask for it anyway.
I have beef with LeBron. I will never not have beef with LeBron. So everything he does just irritates me. But I would like to see a remake of this. It's just, man, it's maybe don't need him to do it. So I'm going thumb sideways. Because maybe he'll start to do it and it'll be like really good. And some like legit production company, no offense, LeBron, except actually full offense, will be like, hey, we got this. You go sit down. You just come to the theater and we'll get you a real nice seat. So thumb sideways.
Private blocks, just for you.
Right, exactly.
So
just don't steal the Phantom of the Opera's box.
No, don't do that. That's dangerous.
So, even though it was never officially announced as a thing, it has been officially declared dead. Kathleen Kennedy has confirmed that the Boba Fett movie is no more. Thumbs sideways on this one, because it would have been one thing if we heard we were getting a Boba Fett movie for sure, and then they were like, eh, just kidding. This, we never really had to begin with. Yeah. Lydia.
Don't care, so it means nothing to me either way, so thumb sideways.
Tabitha.
I'm going thumbs up on this, because you're right. Like, if we would have had, like, some kind of more information than we had on it, it would have been one thing, but we didn't. So yeah. it's, you know, a dream dead before it began, so.
Yeah. Matt.
Yeah, echo everybody else's sentiments, and we are getting The Mandalorian, so there's that. So, right. Thumbs up.
So, Tabitha, Tiny Books.
Oh, God.
Tiny Books?
Tiny Books. Books.
Okay, I thought that was what he said.
Tiny Books. Dutton, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House, has released its first batch of mini books. And, of course, it was a box set of John Green novels, but that I won't go there. I probably will a little bit, but it's okay. we talked about this before, and I remember them not really telling us the exact format of this. So, directly from the publishing house, the tiny editions are the size of a cell phone and no thicker than your thumb, with paper as thin as onion skin. They can be read with one hand, the text flows horizontally, and you can flip the pages upwards like swiping a smartphone. There's a video of this on the internet, and it hurts my soul. Like, badly. Next year they plan to release more mini books. Right now all we have is 4 John Green books. They're $12 each, or $48 for the set.
What?
And they're available at Target, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. Thumbs down. Stop it. Like, you don't need to make a cell phone e-reader book hybrid. Also, pages as thin as onion skin. I'm gonna rip that in about 3 seconds.
Matt.
Oh my god. You know, I like the idea of smaller books to fit in your hand. Because, yes, there are times where I get a book and it's, like, unwieldy, you know. so the idea of, one that you can easily hold in one hand, fine. The pages, yeah. But really, like, just go left to right, go sideways. Just don't make me flip like I'm flipping on a
Rolodex.
God, no, that right there loses me, so thumbs down.
It looks like a Rolodex.
And oh, okay, and $12?
Mm-hmm.
What the, really? I'm buy a full size for $12.
You can buy a full size and an ebook for $12.
Yeah. I'm going thumbs sideways on this. I need to actually hold it in my hand and actually, you know, see how it works. I mean, even looking at the video or whatever, like, that's not doing it justice for me. So I need to actually experience it. So I'm giving it a thumb sideways for right now. Lydia.
Okay. I like the idea of small books because, okay, something the size of my phone, great. I could put it in my pocket if I don't have a bag to carry with me. That's great. It needs to be right, left to right. Why put it horizontal? That's messing it up in the first place. And like he said, why $12? No. Thumbs down.
And they did this before, pocketbooks.
Like, they had a great idea, and like they ruined all of it.
Well, I remember pocketbooks, and but they were just like, you know, tiny.
Pocketbooks, right!
Yeah, you can't see anything, but...
What was wrong
also,
with those?
Can you imagine, though, like a, I don't know, a Brandon Sanderson book in this format? Like, still gonna be super thick, and also, if you're swiping up like that... Like,
yeah, I'm gonna tear pages.
Those pages to shreds.
You might as well just rip them out as you read them because it's just the way it's gonna work.
You're hurting my heart.
Matt, let's talk about Fortnite.
Again? How many times does this even make?
Too many anymore. But, you know, it's the most popular game ever now. So, Ninja, Tyler Blevins, the famous Twitch streamer, has announced, along with Red Bull, that he is going to air a live stream from New York Times Square running 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. On New Year's Eve. So basically from New Year's Eve to New Year's morning. It's going to feature him playing Fortnite with a series of guests as he celebrates the New Year with different time zones across the world. It'll also stream on his Twitch channel. We don't need this. Thumbs down.
It is definitely not for me, but, I mean, there's an audience for it, I'm sure. There's, I mean, obviously, Fortnite is huge. You know, there's an audience for it. Why not? Thumbs up. Lydia?
I agree. There's most likely an audience for this, but even though I've played it and I enjoy the game, I feel like there's such an overabundance of Fortnite stuff. Like, it hasn't even been a Fortnite since we've talked about this game. Like,
touche.
Well done.
But anyway, thumb sideways. I'm not sure we need this, but sure, someone's probably going to like it.
Deborah.
Same. Thumb sideways. It's not my cup of tea, but it's somebody's, clearly.
Also, I have more important things to worry about on my birthday.
What, like 12 million people or something like that? Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like those 12 million people count more than just me, who doesn't care.
So, we're going to end Gut Reaction on a couple of election stories. Because, you know, it's election day on Tuesday, so vote. Well, I say that.
Vote intelligently.
Vote intelligently.
Informed. Be informed.
Yes. Do research and then vote.
Yes.
Anyway, so there's a new app. It's called Vote With Me. It shows you how someone is registered. Like, you can look up your contacts. It'll tell you how someone is registered and which past elections they voted in. It won't tell you who they voted for.
Good.
But, yeah, but it'll tell you if you're registered as a Republican, Democrat, Independent. This is all public information, but it's not typically this easy to find out. I like the idea of finding new and different ways to get people to, you know, to vote, but not like this. This one is a thumbs down for me. It sounds creepy. I kind of wanted to download it and try it out just to kind of have that big, better frame of reference for talking about it, but I couldn't do that because I didn't want... I don't want to know, you know, how people vote, you know. I do know in some instances, but still. Lydia.
It's better that you don't see who people voted for in the past, but I still feel like the overall, oh, I know this person's a Republican, I know this person's a Democrat, I know this person doesn't care. That's going to start a lot of fights that don't need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, thumbs down.
And can you imagine if, like, an employee got a hold of that?
Mm-hmm.
It would make online dating easier.
I mean, you've got a point.
I'm going thumb sideways just because, can you imagine? It'd be so much easier. Well, you're taking out, like, so much the risk.
Matt.
This just seems a little Big Brother, even though, yes, it is public information. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that people change. So not necessarily the way that they are registered or have voted in the past is going to indicate what they're going to do now or in the future. So I'm going thumbs down.
Fair. last story for Gut Reaction. So Bruce Rauner, who is Illinois' governor and running for re-election, he made an executive order last week directing the Illinois Department of Transportation to develop a program involving multiple state agencies and eventually automakers to test and plan for the arrival of automated vehicles. In a quote that he had said, he said that this technology is here and Illinois is ready to embrace it. As a transportation hub for the country, Illinois is ideally situated to be the leader in research of connected and automated vehicles. The plan is to have vehicles, to bring such vehicles to Illinois within 5 to 10 years. Abate has actually, who is a, they're a motorcycle, union. They have rescinded their, endorsement of Rauner over this. You know,
I can understand why.
You know, I don't like the guy. He's done a lot of things in his first term that I have not agreed with. I agree with this. This is coming whether we like it or not, so we may as well be ready for it. I'm going to go ahead and give this one a thumbs up. Lydia.
I'm going to go thumb sideways, but I like the abate side of it because motorcycles already have issues with people driving cars. Can you imagine them having to also dodge cars that drive themselves?
Well, that's another thing, though. With this, you know, with this plan, maybe they can make these, you know, autonomous vehicles safer for motorcyclists.
Says Uber.
Yeah.
Fair.
I'm still doing some sideways.
Too soon.
Tabitha.
I'm going thumb sideways as well. Like, I appreciate his knowledge. Yeah, thank you. That this is coming and there's nothing you can do to stop it. But at the same time, I feel like at this point in his political career, he's maybe just making a last-ditch effort to kind of be like, hey guys, look, I can do something for the future that I may or may not be here for.
We can't stop it, just like we can't stop this car.
Rude.
Yes, I appreciate the idea of looking to the future for this, but all I can think about is driving the highways around Chicago, and specifically the Dan Ryan, with automated cars, and I'm gonna go thumb sideways just because of that image.
So, that concludes Gut Reaction. Just a few more stories to talk about. The first thing that I do want to discuss, we had a chance to read Fearscape number 2 from Vault. Came out yesterday. It's written by Ryan O'Sullivan, and the artist is Andrea Moody. You know, and I read 1 and 2 back-to-back because I had missed the first one. And I feel like these first two issues are a setup to something that's really going to be, like, fun and imaginative. And so Henry, who is our protagonist in this, is at least, at the bare minimum, an unconventional narrator. I feel like he's way more, you know, talkative to his audience. But I get the vibe that he's a very much unreliable narrator as well.
Absolutely.
And I love stories with unreliable narrators. So, Tabitha, what did you think about this?
I am a sucker for an unreliable narrator. However,
with a backstory?
With a backstory. You guys know me well. Like, I hate this guy, but I still like him. Like, he's pompous and pretentious, but I'm just like, oh my God. And it's sometimes, like, reading this, like, I feel like the author may have, like, found their first, maybe first thesaurus or something. Like, oh.
Yes.
Like, you're using a lot of words that you don't need to use. Unlike a lot of things that we've gotten to read that drop you off, like, in the middle of the world, like, I really like that this, like, started at the beginning, gave you a little bit of backstory, and then let you go forward. However, unless you're Charlotte Bronte, do not dear reader me.
There were a couple of those.
Ooh, there were more than a couple. There were a lot. Like, one person gets to do that, and she's dead. And she already did it. Leave it alone.
So that power didn't get passed on to somebody else.
No, and it certainly was not this man.
Matt.
You know, you guys have pretty much stolen all of the words that I had to describe this, like the unreliable narrator. And yes, I, as much as I want to know what is going to happen, Henry, which that alone kind of drives me insane. That's his name. Mm. The fact that he is so, yes, pompous and pretentious, mm-hmm. and the extreme use of vocabulary that he seems necessary to bestow upon us. I'm just like,
as he says, bestow.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that was intentional.
Might have been. But it just, I don't know. I'm, even after reading 1 and 2 back to back, I do like the backstory. I do like the lead up. I want to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, and I know we're going to, but there's a lot of words being used in the first two that I don't necessarily think were entirely necessary.
Right.
To get where we are.
Right. Not entirely necessary, but I feel like that fits the character.
Oh, absolutely. That's like true, it's a comic for readers. Like it's a comic for creative types. Like it really is. But at the same time, you're just like, you're drudging through this language to try to get to those, like the sub point. And you're just like,
it's like reading Lovecraft.
Oh,
yeah. Which I enjoy, but at the same time is thick.
And wordy.
Yes.
For no reason. Like, Truman Capote, 20 pages on how flat Kansas is in the beginning of In Cold Blood. Like, this is what that felt like to me. But, like, in a fantasy world.
So, another comic that came out yesterday that initially I was going to skip out on, it's Batman Secret Files. It's a one-shot, but the only reason why I picked it up, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm very excited to, is that there are three stories in here. One of them features Detective Chimp. And if you don't know who Detective Chimp is, he's a chimpanzee.
What?
Who is also a detective.
Wait a minute.
Mind blown.
So that's where they got the idea for Detective Pikachu.
Those thieves.
Copycats.
Copy chimps.
Oh. Wow. That's going one night so far, dude. I'm gonna slow down.
Really?
Also, you're hurting her side.
I know.
Every time I laugh, I die.
I'm sorry.
Okay. He's not.
So, last little bit of comics news I want to talk about. So, Image Comics is teaming with the Hero Initiative, which actually we got a chance to speak with them back at the MicroCon. They are going to offer 16 variant covers to support the Hero Initiative. 100% of the proceeds raised by these Hero Initiative variant covers will go towards supporting the nonprofit. So, they've revealed the first 13 variants. I'll just go over these real quickly. So, coming out December 5th, Hero Initiative variant covers are going to be from The Last Siege, number 7, The Wicked and the Divine, number 40, Blackbird, number 3, Unnatural, number 5, Self/Made, number 1, The Freeze, number 1, Dead Rabbit, number 3. Coming out December 12th, Birthright, number 34, Hey Kids Comics, number 5, Auntie Agatha's Home for Wayward Rabbits. That's fun to say. And Skyward number 9. And December 19th, Curse Words number 19, Regression number 14, Burnouts number 4, and Gideon Falls number 9. So, yeah, there are a couple. Self/Made is actually one that I just learned about a couple days ago, and it seems really cool. I was going to pick that one up anyway. And if I can find this variant cover, I'm definitely going to pick that up as well. So, Tabitha, let's talk about a new Wizarding World Cafe.
So, I'm real sad that I used my vacation time to try to die, because an interactive Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts themed cafe called the Wizarding World Cafe, because originality, is opening in Japan. It's going to be there for a limited time, November 9th through January 31st, so basically for the premiere of the new movie. Mm-hmm. They're going to have themed food and drinks. Customers will also be seeing a premiere of never-before-seen footage of the upcoming movie. Mm-hmm. So there will be a cafe, a theater, and a shop selling limited edition merchandise. Mostly I just want the merchandise. But there's not been any images or anything released yet, but we've seen some artist makeups of what the inside's going to be like, and this looks super fun. And I'm really jealous that it's in Japan. Japan always gets the cool stuff.
Yeah,
I just want to know if they're going to serve like pastries shaped like the ones he does.
I really hope so.
Because that needs to be a thing.
I really hope so. I hope that the next time I go to the Wizarding World Harry Potter, they have those as well, because they were working on a bakery when I was there last. It's just not open yet.
Oh. But yeah.
I need to go so bad.
You know, I'm on the fence when it comes to these kind of like pop-up things, because on the one hand, like, they're pretty cool. Like, there was that one last year that was the Stranger Things bar that was in Chicago. And I was actually in Chicago when it was when it was up and running, because I think that was around Wizard World. And we were going to go to it, but the line was, like, around the block. And it's like, oh, no. So, but, you know, that's kind of like the thing with these pop-ups. It's like, they're so popular, and they get so many people in there that it's next to impossible to get in.
Yeah. It's marketing genius. Like, can you imagine how much money these things make? It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. Like, the limited time that it's going to be there would make it really hard to go.
Right.
But I just want
to
go.
Yeah. And plus, with it being in China, would also make it hard to go.
You mean Japan?
Japan. That too.
Those are very different places.
They are very different places. I don't have an excuse for that. Whatever.
He doesn't own a map. It's fine.
I don't, actually. Tabitha, we're going to stick with you for our last story. Let's talk about some creepy, creepy, creepy Halloween masks.
Oh, God. All right. I know I'm a day late on these, but Matt Reed at Reed Paper Creative Agency in Tennessee has used a generative adversarial network to recognize the patterns of data in Halloween masks. After feeding the computer thousands of images, the AI began creating its own Halloween masks.
Oh, no.
All the images can be seen on Matt Reed's Twitter, at MC Reed. From his Twitter, which was my personal favorite of this, he posted some of the photos, and on the caption said, "The thing about machines is that they really don't know when to stop." And as the images were coming out, he was kind of naming them on occasion. And we ended up with masks such as Pirate JFK and Trump Nugget, along with a smoking sock monkey. And if anyone ever wears a mask around me that looks like this, I will actually murder you and willingly go to prison and enjoy my time there. Because these are terrifying.
Will you murder me with the mask still on?
Absolutely, and then I will glue it to your face so they cannot remove it, so you have to be buried in it. Because you chose that life.
And notice how I said me and not, you know, potentially somebody else. Because if it wasn't, it would totally be me.
I mean, I'm still pretty sure you paid Puppy Monkey Baby to party with me at Wizard World right here.
So just ask nicely. That's all it was.
Oh, I hate you.
Actually, I think that might have been more Pickett than anything.
Was it? That monster.
I mean, I didn't talk to him. So if anybody
I definitely didn't talk to him. It must have been Pickett then, because that doesn't just happen.
To be fair, at C2E2, I always protected you from the furries.
That's true. Lydia always warns me when the furries are headed my way, so I can look the other direction. Yes. Avert my eyes.
She lets you know when the herd is coming.
Oh, God, a herd of furries. And when I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning because I've had that dream, I'm calling you.
No.
You're going to think someone's on fire, and they are. It's going to be you.
I feel like a group of furries would be called something other than a herd, though.
A murder. Can't think of anything else you would call them.
Yeah.
Torture.
Yeah.
Because I'm not... I'm not too hip on the furry lingo to be able to come up with anything.
I kind of proud of you for that. I would be a little worried.
Oh, yeah, concerned.
I would exhibit more concern.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to talk about more groups of furries off air. So, on that note...
More really not.
No.
Do we have to?
Mitch is going to talk to himself.
Because we're leaving.
So, that's all the time that we have for this episode of The Geek Awakens. This episode was brought to you by LodgeCon, which will be held February 9th and 10th at the Will County Fair Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be posting news throughout the week. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, Matt and I will be back Monday to review the newest episode of Doctor Who in The Geek Awakens Presents, Traveling the Hooniverse. Finally, be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us here at The Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week. Everybody, say bye.
Bye. Bye.